good once again, everyone. Chad Holmes with you. Chad Holmes Show on this Thursday on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 at 12:30. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 4 for 4 so far this week. A fourth consecutive beautiful day here in central Wisconsin. Yesterday, we saw a record high temperature, but the temperatures are going to start to dip pretty soon. To get all the details for the end of the work week and into the weekend, we're joined by weatherology meteorologist Ray Miller. Ray, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. We're 4 for 4, but we will not be making it 5 for 5 as a cold front moves into the area late tonight and then on through the end of the work week and into the weekend as well. Sunny for the rest of the afternoon, still very nice, high of 70, winds out of the south at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Showers and storms developing tonight, mainly after midnight as that cold front moves in. We'll see temperatures falling back to around 57 degrees. Rain continuing Friday, a high of 62. That'll be early in the day, and then temperatures drop into the upper 40s by the late afternoon with gusty northwest winds. Showers and storms Saturday with a high around 53. Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 54. Monday, sunny, high of 48 degrees. I'm meteorologist Ray Miller in the Weatherology Weather Center.
Earlier in the week, I asked you about Friday in terms of our high school football playoff coverage. Is it going to be a drencher tomorrow night? What can we expect in the area?
Yeah, it does look that way. We'll have rain off and on through much of the day Friday and into Friday evening as well. The Weather Service putting the precipitation chance at 90%. And a lot of times, they don't use those big numbers unless they're absolutely certain. And based on what we're seeing as well, looks like quite a bit of rain across the area Friday night.
And that continues to Saturday as well. Quite a drencher, this storm system, isn't it?
Yeah, it really looks that way. In fact, we don't see precipitation completely moving out of the area until early Saturday evening.
Wow. So get the rain slickers out for the next couple of days.
That's exactly right.
Okay, Ray, well, thank you very much. Have yourself a great rest of your day, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
I'll see you then.
And right now, a few clouds, but plenty of sunshine in central Wisconsin outside our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. Temperature of 69 degrees. Not quite a record here today. Again, the record is 75 for November 3rd in Wausau. The winds are out of the south at 18 miles per hour, gusting as high as 26 miles per hour. The dew point is 51 degrees, so a relative humidity of 53%. The barometer at 29.85 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Again, if you missed our first hour, we had Wisconsin's Attorney General Josh Call on with us. If you missed it or missed previous programs, you can go to civicmedia.us. civicmedia.us. Click on shows so you can see all the civic media shows, including my show. And just click on the logo to my show, and you'll be able to hear later on. Once we get done with the program, it will be up pretty quickly after that. But you can go back and hear our interview with Josh Call from the first hour and anything else that comes out of my mouth here on this program. Glad you spend a little time with us each and every weekday from 2 until 4 p.m. Hey, sports-wise, another win for the Bucks last night. The Bucks defeated the Detroit Pistons. Second time, it was again a weird schedule. Detroit played at Pfizer Forum on Monday, and they never left town. They hung around Milwaukee for a couple of days and then played again in Milwaukee last night. And the Bucks had a more easy time last night, going to 7-0 on the season. Bucks 7-0, the only undefeated team left in the NBA. Terrific start. Last season, the Bucks got off to a bit of a slow start. This year, off to a very fast start. They'll try to make it 8 in a row. Won't be easy tomorrow night. They will take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Very good Minnesota team. Tomorrow night. So again, Minnesota, a team that made the playoffs a year ago, made a big trade in the offseason for Rudy Gobert. So a pretty big challenge for the Milwaukee Bucks coming up tomorrow night. Green Bay Packers continuing preparation as they are back on the field on Sunday, taking on the Detroit Lions at Ford Field in Detroit. Both teams struggling. Only one win so far this season for Detroit. They've been finding ways to lose. They've been very competitive. I would not expect the Packers to go into Detroit and roll the Lions because Green Bay struggling themselves. Losers of 4 games in a row. The Packers now 3-5 on the campaign. Hard to believe the struggles that the teams that feature two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, and both have just been having hard, hard times. And Tampa Bay actually got off to a good start. They won their first 2 games on the road, and since then, starting with a loss to the Packers, they have dropped down in the NFC South. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not either Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers is able to lift their team. And that's what a great player is supposed to do, right? Lift that team and get them back into the playoff race. Packers have a big hill to climb if they're to catch the Minnesota Vikings. And the Vikings, they seem to win all the close games right now. They have not been dominant, but each and every week, Minnesota finding a way to get the W. And again, don't forget, coming up tomorrow night, we got high school playoff football. 10-0 Newman, 10-0 Siren. It's an 8-player WIAA state semifinal. 6:40 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff. I will be in Chippewa Falls for that one, live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Going to take a quick break and then come back and talk about this story in the New York Times Magazine I saw earlier in the week. We're going to do that coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. The Newman Catholic High School football team is two wins away from a second straight 8-player WIAA state championship. On Friday night, the Cardinals head to Chippewa Falls to take on Siren in a state semifinal. Hear the action on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the kickoff at 7 p.m. Newman Catholic High School Fighting Cardinals football on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you locally by the Cloverbell Credit Union, Sun Printing, REI Engineering, Varney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, and the Newman Friends of the Gridiron. It's Newman Catholic against Siren in an 8-player WIAA state semifinal. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 3:17 here on this Thursday afternoon. Some sunshine out there, temperature of 69 degrees. Enjoy it today because starting tomorrow, it's going to cool down and get wet. Some significant rainfall tomorrow into Saturday. We'll get you up to speed on the weather forecast again in just a little bit. Came across a story from the Associated Press today. You shake your head looking at these numbers because I'm going to talk about another story, piggyback on it, because talk about where we spend our money, because where we spend our money shows where we put our priorities. And I'm not saying that who is in the governor's office or the presidential seat or the Congress or state legislature isn't important, because it's vitally important. I mean, especially, you know, this year. But man, when you see some of the amounts of money being spent, when there's other areas you could spend that money in, it makes you shake your head just a little bit. But according to the Associated Press today, Wisconsin's hotly contested race for governor is the most expensive in state history. Spending as of last week by Governor Tony Evers, Republican challenger Tim Michaels, and special interest groups neared $115 million. That's total between everybody. That number came from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign today. That group tracks campaign spending. That tops the previous record of $93 million set in 2018, which was 4 years ago. And that does not include the final days of the race ahead of Tuesday's election. So right now, before the run-in here in the last 5 days, And actually, it goes, that was as of last week. So, a week and a half, 2 weeks. I'm not sure exactly how much is going to be added on. But with all that time remaining, already $22 million more spent on the gubernatorial race this year than it did in the previous record year of 2018 between Tony Evers and the incumbent governor, Scott Walker. The seven candidates for governor spent more than $69.4 million between January 1st and October 21st. The Wisconsin Democracy campaign reported Evers spent about $37 million compared to about $24.5 million by Michaels. The actual amount spent is even higher because the total does not include spending by dark money groups that attack one candidate or the other and do not have to report their activities. Express advocacy groups tell voters who to support. They have spent just over $45 million as of Thursday. $45 million on these advocacy groups. Right Direction Wisconsin PAC, a political action committee run by the Republican Governors Association, has spent the most of these groups, spending nearly $9.3 million on spots attacking Evers. The top spending on a group backing Evers was $5.1 million by a Better Wisconsin Together political fund. And after all that money right now, the polls do show this race to be even. But again, when you look at that money, and especially for these wealthy people, the Eline family, Diane Hendricks of APC Supply, spending tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars on political campaigns. Tens of millions. And I came across a story in the WASA Pilot and Review today. And a story that we talked about in the past. Talking about the Community Corner Clubhouse. Community Corner Clubhouse closed down a month ago. And now North Central Healthcare's adult day service will move to the former clubhouse site in WASA. The story on WASA Pilot and Review today. So North Central Healthcare using that space. And to be honest with you, reading the story, there's a lot I don't understand. I shouldn't say that on the air because they say, hey, what do you know about anything? Well, there's some things where I don't get it. I don't understand it. And actually, this is a question I'm going to ask tomorrow. John Robinson, former WASA mayor, former member of the Wisconsin Assembly, currently a member of the Marathon County Board. He'll be joining us tomorrow here on the program. And at 2:15 tomorrow, 2:15 for John Robinson tomorrow. And we're going to talk about budget issues on the county board. And one of the issues is, has been the former Community Corner Clubhouse that was open for 26 years. And the thing about it is, I have not heard of anybody who said, boy, that place should close. That place is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. But in the end, there wasn't funding for it. The county and NC North Central Healthcare could not keep it open. And again, it's tragic for the folks who were regular members going to the Community Corner Clubhouse, a place that they needed badly. And when I think of the multimillionaires, the billionaires that spend money on the commercials that we've all seen, over and over and over again over the past few months. People are spending millions of dollars of their own money because they got a choice where they can put their money, when they want to give money to whatever cause it may be. And I mean, it's not my position to say you should put money here, you should put money there. But when you see people like the Eline family, the people who have Uline Company, they decide to spend all their money on garbage spots. Garbage. And when they could make a donation to a place like the Community Clubhouse, Community Corner Clubhouse, to keep it open and actually affect the lives of people in a positive way instead of putting garbage commercials on the air. Again, I just shake my head. I don't get this. I don't understand a lot of this. The Community Corner Clubhouse was partially funded by Marathon County tax levy during its 26 years of operation. It is not a mandated program under the Wisconsin Department of Health Services regulations. And North Central Healthcare, North Central Community Service Program, said the funds were not there. North Central Healthcare leaders, when announcing the place was closing down, including Interim Executive Director Mort McBain and Chief Medical Officer Robert Guthrow, said it was not possible to run the clubhouse as part of NCHC. Dr. Guthrow said the clubhouse provided important services, but those needs should be met through a program that's not located at NCHC. Okay. So this clubhouse, which helped adults with persistent mental illness and those struggling with alcohol and other drug abuse challenges, provided members with a place that they could meet friends, build self-confidence, learn valuable life skills, and discover untapped talents. Important place for whether it's a lot of people or a few people, but people who needed the help. And then North Central Healthcare said, those needs should be met through a program that's not located at NCHC. Well, how about the U-Lines or E-Lines? It's actually pronounced E-Lines, even though the company's U-Line. It's called E-Line. How about they provide a small fraction of the money to help people instead of tearing people down? That would be nice, wouldn't it? Again, it's still disturbing. And now to see that North Central Healthcare, after saying that, no, they shouldn't be funding the Community Corner Clubhouse, and now they're going to take over the building? And, this story actually kind of annoys me. I'm not saying the program, the adult day service, is not an important program. It is an important program. But even people who are part of that have some problems with this move to the marathon, to the adult clubhouse site. According to the pilot and review story, they're moving the program from the NCHC campus to the former venue of the clubhouse. But it was apparent that clients using the ADS program and their families had been informed of the move at least before the meeting on Wednesday, last night, since a committee member shared an email from the family of a current client who had written him about the change. McBain said some people may not immediately approve of the new venue, as change is hard for some clients. Well, what about the folks that were coming to the Community Corner Clubhouse? That change was pretty darn hard, too. The people who use the services are cognitively and physically disabled and need daytime care, McBain said. So now they're moving the site, making it more difficult. Adult daycare service program. McBain says the ADS program will have 70 people at a time using the entire space upstairs and downstairs. As a comparison, he said, the number of people who have the Community Corner Clubhouse at the same time rarely exceeded 15 and sometimes as few as 6. Well, whoop-dee-doo. The only concern, McBain said, the traffic around 3rd Avenue consequently, these people have to use paratransit buses for drop-off and pick-up. I want to continue talking about this in the next segment. We'll wrap up this discussion, but we have a hard break coming up for news. We'll have a news break, finish this discussion, and have more coming up. Chad Holmes with you until 4 o'clock. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
When I was young, it seemed
Chat Home Show on Poll Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, PollFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 69 degrees outside our studios here on East Wausau Avenue at 334. Wanted to finish up my thoughts on this story that came across the WausauPilotAndReview.com today about North Central Healthcare's adult day service moving to the former Community Corner Clubhouse site in Wausau. And mentioned again, the North Central Healthcare's adult day service is vitally important. Please don't take anything I'm saying as saying that. But the fact that just a month ago, after 26 years, the Community Corner Clubhouse closed its doors. And again, as I said in the last segment, I have not heard of anybody who said, boy, that was not accomplishing what it was supposed to accomplish. That it was not a program that in a site that needed, you know, to be shut down because it just is not doing any good. Everybody says it was important to keep those doors open, but yet they did not stay open. Nobody stepped up and did it. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. As I said, North Central Healthcare said, you know, basically, no, this needs to be taken care of somewhere else. And now a month later, North Central Healthcare is going to move the adult day service from its current location to the former site of the Community Corner Clubhouse. And apparently there are some issues right now. Mort McBain, the interim director, touting the fact that the adult day service program will have 70 people at a time using the entire space, upstairs and downstairs. And then, I don't know why he's making this comparison. I frankly don't care how many at a time were using it at the Community Corner Clubhouse. But he said, the number of people at the Community Corner Clubhouse at the same time rarely exceeded 15, and sometimes as few as 6. Who cares? Is 15 not enough? Is 6 not enough? So, this was announced at a meeting. Word had been out before this, and some concerns are coming in. Supervisor Ron Covelli shared an email from one client's family that spelled out several concerns, including the availability of American Disability Act compatible bathrooms, respect for privacy, opportunity for outdoors experience, and parking at the premises. The family also wanted to know how the NCHC staff would monitor the clients. Mort McBain said clients are taking on trips to give them outdoors experience, and that will continue. Good. There are 3 bathrooms, and 2 of them are ADA compatible, with plans underway to partition off a changing space to create more changing room to address privacy concerns. McBain responded to the concerns by saying that all bases have been covered and that the clubhouse space will be ideal for the new use. There's something that just doesn't feel right about this to me. And again, I hope to be enlightened by Marathon County Board Member John Robbins, because he is on top of everything. I mean, he is such an intelligent man and who's on top of all of these kind of issues, even if he's not, you know, the person that's ultimately responsible for any of this. But I really just, I find it disturbing that NCHC, after basically washing their hands of the Community Corner Clubhouse a month ago, is now moving another group into that very same space a month later. And then saying, well, more people are going to use the space than it was used in the past. I don't get it. And again, I guess I better close up shop and hopefully get more information tomorrow on this. And again, you can check out the entire story at WausauPilotAndReview.com. Also, during the last break, I saw a tweet. The FBI has received credible information of a broad threat to synagogues in New Jersey. We ask at this time that you take all security precautions to protect your community and facility. We will share more information as soon as we can. Stay alert. In case of emergency, call police. A week ago or so, last week, I saw a piece of video online with Rich Eisen. He is a sports talk show host. He's also a anchor on the NFL Network. And he had a very interesting 7-minute monologue about Kyrie Irving. And I'm not sure how many of you may follow basketball and follow sports, but this has become more than a sports story. Kyrie Irving is a superstar in the NBA, but he's also been a very controversial player in the NBA because of a number of different beliefs that he appears to have. In the past, he has come out as a flat earther, that the earth is not round. He is an anti-vaxxer. In fact, he missed much of last season because he would not get vaxxed. And because of the rules in New York, he was not able to play in any of the home games for the Brooklyn Nets. And early in the season, Brooklyn said, well, if you can't play at home, we're not going to take you on the road. But then when the Nets were having trouble, they decided, well, we got to get him on the court. And he played the road games. And now the latest situation is, last week, he put out on his social media, which has, I think, more than 4 million followers, a link to a book that went into a movie that was exceptionally anti-Semitic. And there's been a lot of pushback on it, but he has doubled down on it, basically not apologizing. Him and the Nets have put up some money to the Anti-Defamation League, I believe, but there was a statement, I think it was in the Wisconsin Senate debate, where Mandela Barnes said to Ron Johnson, there isn't a problem that a rich person can't try to buy their way out of. And that's what I thought when I saw the Nets and Kyrie Irving making this donation, when Kyrie Irving has not come out and said, what I said is wrong. The anti-Semitic views that I pushed out by pushing out this book and movie is wrong. And Rich Eisen, who is a Jewish American, talked about it, said, I know what anti-Semitic tropes look like, what they sound like, and what they feel like. And I put out on my social media, I said, Rich Eisen hitting it out of the park. From Kyrie Irving's anti-Semitism promotion to the disgusting Kanye was right about the Jew sign outside the stadium in Jacksonville Saturday, people have to stand up and say, this is wrong. I say, this is wrong. You know how many people, and again, my social, I don't get a whole lot of likes and retweets. It's pretty small compared to most people. But I put this up on my Twitter and on my Facebook. I got 0 likes and 0 retweets on Twitter, and I got 0 likes on Facebook. And it depressed me. Why can't somebody stand up and say, yes, this is wrong? And now today, just in the last break, I saw this. I wasn't going to talk about this in this segment. But the FBI has received credible information of a broad threat to synagogues in New Jersey. Threat to synagogues. Threat. From the same people who talk about religious freedom. The same people. The right wing has just embraced hate in this country. Hate sells, hate scares, hate spreads. That there are people out there threatening. And I don't know if you saw that. A week ago Saturday, there was this huge college football game in Jacksonville between Georgia and Florida. Every year they play in Jacksonville on a neutral site. And on this electric, on these tall buildings, you see the electric message boards. And on a building outside the stadium in Jacksonville, it said, Kanye was right about the Jews. Somebody put it up on there. Wake up. Wake up, people. Stand up and say, this is wrong. The idea that a person's skin color, a person's religion, makes them so different that they could be threatened. It's disgusting. It makes me so angry. It makes me fed up. We're all human beings. The whole idea of America first and Christian country and all that stuff. These people need to really look deep into what this country was formed on, not as a religious place. It was about freedom of religion and freedom from religion. The people that tell us God told us this or God made this happen, they don't know anything about that. We all have the individual right to worship the way we want to and to threaten other people's religions because it's not yours. And when you hear Republicans and conservatives talk about religious freedom, it means one thing. Religious freedom means freedom to discriminate. Well, I should be able to discriminate against that gay person because of my religious freedom. I should be able to discriminate against this Muslim because of my religion. I should be able to discriminate against anybody because of my religion. They've used that. People use that to say, I have a religious freedom not to get the vaccine. There was no point in the Bible that talked about not using vaccines. But that today, this afternoon, the FBI has received credible information of a broad threat to synagogues in New Jersey because of the hate that is being brought out by MAGA Republicans. It's not a both sides violence issue. They laugh and laugh and laugh about Paul Pelosi. Republican members of Congress, Republican candidates for state and national offices making jokes after an 82-year-old man had his skull cracked by a hammer in his home last week. They laugh about the violence. They laugh about the hate. They endorse it every single day. But today we now see the FBI has received credible information of a broad threat to synagogues in New Jersey. It is wrong. Again, I wasn't going to talk about this issue here. I had another segment planned, but I saw that, and it went back to what I put out last week that nobody liked. And again, it doesn't matter how many likes you get on social media, but I'll put something up about some other issue, about sports or anything else, and I'll get a few likes. But not one of the people that... And these are people that know who I am, follow me, friends with me. And yet none of them said, I like that, to stand up against this. We're in a scary time here. We're in a very scary time. At some point, we're going to have to stand up, say no to this hate. I don't know what's going to happen on Tuesday in the election. But it's going to say a lot. It's going to say a lot about where we are because less than 2 years after January 6th, is the United States of America going to give the power to the people who broke into the United States Capitol and tried to overturn a fair election? We're going to find out, aren't we? We're going to find out. Got to take a break. Going to try to loosen up just a little bit, wrap things up with a little looser conversation coming up. It's coming up on 348, 69 degrees in Wausau here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCL, 3:51 here on this Thursday afternoon. Glad you could spend a little time with me. We'll take you up until the Devil's Advocates from 4 until 6 this evening. And again, don't forget, we will have complete coverage of local and state election results coming up on Tuesday. It's going to be a great night. Make sure you tune in right here for the best coverage in terms of state and local races right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, and also across the Civic Media Radio Network. Very happy to be part of the coverage. I'll be bringing some of the local returns here from Wausau on Tuesday evening. And speaking of one of the people that will be watching closely on Tuesday, it's the Republican gubernatorial candidate, Tim Michaels. In the last 15 minutes or so, a new story just popped up from HeartlandSignal.com that Tim Michaels might have underreported how many businesses he has economic interest in, as the company he co-owns is connected to a limited liability company, I should say limited liability companies, that purchase luxury homes across the U.S. Of course, luxury homes. In June, Michaels disclosed 12 enterprises to the Wisconsin Ethics Commission. However, an analysis of Wisconsin Department of Financial Institution documents, along with public documents from other states, reveals as many as 25 undisclosed LLCs linked to Michaels through his construction company, Michaels Corp. Conservative news outlet Wisconsin Right Now reported on two of these LLCs in May. One was used to purchase two homes in Connecticut, while a different LLC manages the properties. Although Michaels is not the documented manager of this LLC, an employee from Michaels Corp is. The employee never seemed to live at the property, since Michaels' wife listed it as her home address when she made a campaign donation in 2021. WRN also went on to prove that Michaels' children went to high school and grew up in Connecticut, further linking Michaels to this Connecticut home. Craig Holman, a campaign finance reform expert and campaign finance rules lobbyist for Public Citizen, said that Michaels is likely attempting to take advantage of confusion around campaign finance laws in Wisconsin to avoid reporting all his assets. As the research suggests, the tactic of hiding purchases through multiple layers of LLCs was used by a total of four different Michaels Corporation employees to also buy private properties in Colorado, Minnesota, Florida, and Wisconsin, as well as commercial real estate in Florida, Milwaukee, and several other areas around Wisconsin. These employees provided private information such as personal phone numbers and emails in these documents. One of them used their Michaels Corporation email address in them. By not reporting these properties, Michaels could have incorrectly filed a statement of economic interest and therefore be withholding potential conflicts of interest from the public. The Michaels campaign did not respond to a request for comment and clarification. This research also suggests an ultra-wealthy lifestyle that Michaels has been living, which conflicts with his campaign messaging that attempts to portray him as blue-collar Wisconsinite. Michaels and incumbent Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers are facing each other in a toss-up race on Election Day. So, again, when you see Tim in his little plaid shirt and blue jeans on the campaign trail, this guy is an ultra-wealthy man with homes in multiple states. He is trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the Wisconsin voter. You know, as much as it would be difficult to see Ron Johnson, when I can almost see how he could pull it off as compared to Tim Michaels against a governor like Tony Evers. Evers has done a solid job in office going through the pandemic and doing so much in the last 4 years. And then you got this guy who doesn't explain what he's going to do. And then he hides everything that he is. He is an ultra-wealthy, multi-state homeowner who's hiding it from the people. And he's hiding his beliefs from the people. And he would be a disaster as the governor. We need Tony Evers as that last wall for democracy. Because if Tim Michaels is governor, Robin Voss is going to run this state. If Tim Michaels likes running Michaels Corp, he's not going to like being governor because he's not going to run anything. It's going to be Robin Voss who runs the show in Madison. But the fact that he has this shell game going on, this shell game that he's hiding all these assets, that says a lot about who this guy is. This guy is not trustworthy. and he's just trying to hide as much as he can going down the stretch. Tuesday is election day. As I said, wrapping up that last segment, there is a lot on the line when it comes to what we're going to vote on Tuesday. And when the results come out Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, we're going to find out a lot. We're going to find out a whole bunch about the voters. Because we can talk about Tim Michaels. We can talk about the third-party money. But the voters have to step up. The voters have to step up and say, this is what we believe in. This is what we want our state and our country to be. You can blame anybody else you want, but the voters get what they vote for. If they want to blame Democrats for inflation, which is a worldwide phenomenon, and give the people that led the insurrection on January 6th power again, that's a voter problem. It's not even a Republican Party problem. Voters have to look in the mirrors and decide what they're going to do. It's going to be very interesting on Tuesday. It's going to be very interesting on Wednesday and Thursday as well when we know what the results are. Tomorrow on the program, 2:15, again, we will be joined by John Robinson, the former Wausau mayor, former Wisconsin legislative member, and currently a member of the Marathon County Board. We'll have John Robinson join us coming up on the program tomorrow at 2:15. Again, stick around. Coming up next, it will be the Devil's Advocates. Have yourselves a great rest of your afternoon. I'm Chad Holmes. Thanks for joining me for the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Gentle.